The latest update from Chicago Bears organized team activities included cornerback Jalen Johnson working with the second team behind Kendall Vildor, rookie edge rusher Dominique Robinson working with the starters, and linebackers Roquan Smith and Nicholas Morrow starting to figure out where exactly they're going to fit in this Matt Eberflus defense.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter, at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our YouTube video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. On the show today, we catch up on how this Matt Eberflus defense is starting to take shape, at least for now. We'll touch on Jalen Johnson playing with the backups behind Kendall Vildor and why Matt Eberflus says we shouldn't read too much into that, but also maybe why I still have some questions unanswered, even if it's not a full-on, you know, benching of sorts. We'll also check in on these two linebackers, the main two guys, Roquan Smith and Nick Morrow, who's going to play the middle, who's going to play the outside, and why this defense is still taking shape, and we can't just look at exactly what the Colts did and try and apply that to what the Bears are going to do with this group. And then we'll wrap up looking at kind of the young standout so far. Sounds like Dominique Robinson is kind of the one to keep an eye on, playing with the starters, mostly because of the players that aren't there, but still notable that he's a guy getting some of those extra reps and catching the eyes of his coaching staff. But I think we need to start with sort of the big attention grabber is Jalen Johnson, the second-year cornerback, second-year cornerback now, really sort of stepping into a bigger role here. And third-year cornerback, trying to get my years mixed up here. The COVID year throws everything off. Third-year cornerback now, his third season, trying to step into that big role in this new defense. And, you know, we talked already about how it's kind of a fresh start and sort of has to reprove himself as being really good again to this new coaching staff. But now, you know, it comes out of OTAs that the starting group was Kyler Gordon, the rookie, and Kendall Vildor as the two outside cornerbacks. And Jalen Johnson was running with the second team. It wasn't clear from the outside here who exactly he was running with on that second team, but that jumps out at you right away. And so I guess to start, let's hear Bears head coach Matt Eberflus asked about it and really trying to downplay the significance of where exactly guys are lining up.
Coach noticed that Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor were running with the ones today and Jalen Johnson with the twos. Is there anything to read into with that, with Jalen Johnson running with?
Yeah, I wouldn't read into that right now. You know, he's just getting back into action right now, so we're just seeing where he is with his conditioning and those types of things. But ones and twos, we're moving all guys around. We have a bunch of guys with the ones, with the twos. We have some threes in there, but nothing to read into that at this time.
Matt, to follow up on that, what's Jalen's standing in your eyes as you get started to put in a new defense and try to get familiar with him and try to figure out where he fits with you?
Yeah, I, you know, looking at him, like I said last week, I didn't get a chance to look at him, and now I've seen him for a week, and I like what I see. I mean, he's moving around really good. His change of direction is nice. He's got really good hands. As you know, he has good size. So now just really looking at his coverage ability, and it's in a good spot, and it's in a really good spot. So we're just working with him and, again, trying to assess his skills, and we'll coach him as we go.
So to be clear, you know, I don't think this is some kind of benching of Jalen Johnson or some sort of, you know, evaluation or referendum on how this coaching staff feels about him, right? This is not them saying, oh, yep, he's a backup and has to, like, quote-unquote, like, earn his starting job. But I don't know. I don't feel perfectly satisfied by that answer from Matt Eberflus that, like, okay, it's a conditioning thing. Well, I guess what I want is more information, right? I'm not suggesting he was lying or not being honest or truthful in what he said, but I just, so if it's a conditioning thing, is it that they don't want to have him do too much work. And so, you know, they're sort of, they're bringing him along slowly. And so then in that case, then why, what makes the second team bringing him along slowly? Like what's slower about playing in the second team than on the first team? If you want to bring him along slowly, could you just do like, you know, half as many reps, but all still with the first team, right? Just rotate him in and out of the first team. Or if it's a conditioning thing where they want him on the field more, why not, you know, and so maybe there's more like second team reps for him to get there. Why not have him do all the first team reps and then additional reps with the second team, right? It's like thinking about it, it's hard to find a perfectly satisfying reason as to why the second team would be the spot Jalen Johnson is going to get if it's purely a conditioning thing. And again, I'm not trying to imply that there's some performance-based issue there, because I don't think you would come in and think of Kendall Vildor as, you know, clearly the beginning, you know, better cornerback right now. By no means is that, does that seem like it would be part of the evaluation. So all of it is to say is like, I still have questions, right? I'm not trying to make this into a bigger controversy than it is. I still have unanswered questions, I think, is the point that I want to take away here. I think the one thing that I feel more confidently on is that, like, one key takeaway is that it does speak highly of Kendall Vildor, that, you know, he's the guy that gets that next spot up on the outside rotation, you know, over, say, Thomas Graham, for example, or Duke Shelley, or some of the other guys they've brought in at cornerback this offseason. That, yes, I mean, Vildor had some starting experience from last year, but there was a lot to like about Thomas Graham as well. But it was Vildor that they went to in that outside starting role. And I think right away, that's a pretty key indicator of his potential security job-wise, you know, on the 53-man roster. When we get to roster cutdowns at the end of training camp, I would think he is probably ahead of then Duke Shelley in terms of if they're going to keep one or cut the other, or even potentially Thomas Graham. Like, he would seem to be at the front of that pack when we start to think about depth and where they see these guys. Of course, Shelley and Graham could be more in the mix in the slot than on the outside, and that complicates some things. But I think it does show that there's some level of confidence and some level of, you know, job security, at least for now, that Kendall Vildor might have. And then we'll kind of see how, so presumably Jalen Johnson will be back with the starters next week or by training camp, certainly, and everything will be normal and it's not a big deal, but still sort of, I'm curious why conditioning is purely the answer there and why the second team is involved in conditioning versus first team. But that's sort of just filed under questions unanswered at this point. We did start to get some questions answered about the linebacker position, how and where they're going to interchange Nicholas Morrow and Roquan Smith, and how this defense might be similar and different from what they did in Indianapolis. We'll hear from the new linebacker, Nick Morrow, on, you know, fitting in Chicago and what he's hearing from defensive coordinator Alan Williams next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears is brought to you by our friends at Athletic Greens, the makers of AG1, and they've got a great product that I use every single day. It's like taking a multivitamin and having it taste good, be in powdered form, and really sort of energize your day with the extra superfood ingredients to boost your gut health, give you more energy, optimizing that immune system. And it's so much easier than just, you know, having to take kind of a gross, ugly vitamin. Like, AG1 tastes good, and it's loaded up with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. I love taking it on an empty stomach. It absorbs right in, and it feels like it's that little pick-me-up. Like, I'm not somebody who drinks caffeine at all. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. I don't drink soda with caffeine in it. But I really like sort of that natural energy feeling and pump that AG1 gives me as part of this Athletic Greens. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional experience. As this new 4-3 iteration of the Chicago Bears defense has been unfolding here, we've been wondering exactly how they're going to split up duties between Roquan Smith and Nick Morrow, right? One of them has to be more the true middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker, the Brian Urlacher role of sorts, compared to the 3-4 defense where Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan were a little bit more interchangeable in terms of what the defense, generally speaking, is asking to do. Not that there weren't differences, but less stark of differences than what you might typically see in a 4-3. And Matt Eberflus has tried to downplay some of those differences. Nick Morrow himself downplayed some of those differences as well and kind of said that, you know, depending on the coverage, it's still a lot of the same responsibilities, regardless of which one you are. But Morrow is the one who's been calling the plays for the Bears defense at practices. The play call comes into him. He's the one who distributes it out to everyone else. And so that would seem to indicate more of a Mike responsibility. They're still sort of working things out. The Will can also be the play caller. It doesn't have to be the Mike position, but it seems to be that's where things are maybe starting to settle in a little bit more in those two spots. And so you can start to sort of plug in Roquan Smith in that Darius Leonard role in Indianapolis. But I don't know that it's also even that easy to make the one-to-one comparison, because I think one of the things that stood out even more to me than just Mike versus Will was what Nick Morrow said about defensive coordinator Alan Williams and how, you know, what exactly this version of the Eberflus defense looks like hasn't really been decided yet, and it's going to be a little more personnel-based, and then as a result, with different personnel in Chicago compared to what they had in Indianapolis, it could take a little bit of a different form, you know, with play calling on Sundays.
I think this is a new defense for almost everybody who's in it. I know it's early, but at this stage, do you get an idea of just what the learning curve is going to be? How quickly you can get started as far as being effective as a defensive unit and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, speaking with Coach Williams when I signed with the Bears, one thing he talked about was we're going to do what everyone's good at. And I think he has a good job and a good feel of, okay, you know, this is a good call for us. This is a good call for us, and let's kind of get to that. So if it's landmarks, then we're going to run landmark defense. If it's man-to-man, we'll run man. If it's match, we'll run match. So I think that's the biggest thing is, like, understanding what the group does well as a whole. But as we get deeper into it, we'll kind of see, like, what we do well. I mean, like I said, it's kind of early to say, like, we'll be this type of defense or that type of defense. But it all starts with effort. You know, that's when we talk about his principle, hustle. So it all starts with effort. But I think Coach Williams does a good job of figuring out, like, hey, you know, we're good at this. Let's do this more often. So
it's a minor thing, but one thing that really stood out there for those of you who check in on the podcast on YouTube, it's you're not missing anything if you're not on the YouTube, but Nick Morrow has some guns, like some pipes. He's wearing a hoodie with, it wasn't like overly tight in the chest, but it was like his arms were bursting out of the sleeves on that. And you could tell he's ripped as a linebacker. He's known as a speed guy, but he can hit too. And you could see it in the arms there, how strong he was. But bigger picture there, right? We think of that Colts Eberflus defense as, like, you know, being a little bit more cover two, cover four heavy, like a little bit more older school style, more in that Lovie Smith vein of play calling. And I think it's kind of important there for Morrow to sort of differentiate that, like, yes, there are certain things that they're going to want to do, but they are going to sort of tweak it and align it more with what the players do best in terms of, you know, coverages and responsibilities. So, like, you know, one of the things he talked about a few different times in his press conference was what they've been working on is in zone defense is getting to their landmarks and then getting to eyes on the quarterback. Basically, that what that means is, like, in everyone's got a zone, right? And there's, like, one physical location on the field on that play call where every player is supposed to go to their spot in the middle of their zone, then stop once they get to that spot and get their eyes fully on the quarterback if they weren't already on the quarterback, and read and react to the play from there. It's a little bit more simplistic and basic that way. Everybody, you know, every time you call that coverage and you're in that role in that zone, you have to go to this spot, and maybe it's 7 yards off the line of scrimmage and 3 yards to the right of the hash mark, right? I mean, it'll be a specific space on the field. That's in contrast sometimes to, like, what we saw with Vic Fangio's defense, and he talked about their, like, match coverage. Like, he said landmarks, man-to-man, or match coverage, right? Match coverage from Vic Fangio's defense was more of like a hybrid man zone thing where you have a zone, but depending on what route the receiver runs in your zone, you might switch to man coverage and follow them, as opposed to sort of playing off of your landmark and keeping your eyes on the quarterback. It becomes man coverage. And so Nick Morrow sort of making the point that, like, yes, the foundation of what they want to do defensively is getting to those zone landmarks in theory. But if, as guys get more comfortable in the defense and the coaching staff gets to better know Roquan Smith and Nick Morrow and Kyler Gordon as a rookie and Jalen Johnson still getting kind of caught up and Eddie Jackson and Jaquan Brisker and all that stuff, they may find that for some of those players, you know, maybe a more of a man-to-man coverage type thing, like Jalen Johnson and press man coverage, right, might be a better fit more often. That doesn't mean they're going to completely abandon all the zone stuff they want to do and just run purely that, but it will, I think, shape more of what the defense looks like, and that could be in direct contrast to what they had in Indianapolis, because maybe the players in Indianapolis, they saw as being a better fit for more a traditional, you know, cover two, Tampa two type of defense, which will have more responsibility for the middle linebacker to play that deep middle read zone like Brian Urlacher, for example. But, you know, if they don't see Nicholas Morrow and Roquan Smith as being ideal fits in that, or maybe they see them as fitting better in other uses in zone or match coverage or man-to-man, then they would be more inclined to run more of that in their mixture of all the different coverages they're going to run. Because every defense runs pretty much every base coverage. It's just a matter of how often you run each one, right? There's only a handful of, you know, a dozen or so types of coverages you can run, and it's what's your mixture, right? How much percentage of this versus a percentage of that, and to mix things up for the opposing offense. And I think the Bears coaching staff has a certain tendencies of types of coverages they like to call, but that mixture will be shaped by what the personnel is in Chicago, and it might make for a different mixture than exactly what they had going in Indianapolis. That'll be a fun thing to kind of watch the play calling as the season goes out here. It'll also be fun to watch who steps up and emerges in this Bears defense. And already this offseason, we're hearing about the rookie edge rusher in the fifth round, Dominique Robinson out of Miami of Ohio, the converted wide receiver, one of the early guys to be name dropped as a standout, getting some extra reps. We'll hear from head coach Matt Eberflus on the rookie and also the absence of the players he's filling in for next on Locked On Bears. I wouldn't bet on Dominique Robinson as any kind of defensive rookie of the year or anything like that, but you can bet early odds right now on offensive and defensive rookie of the year with our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is going to be your source for all of your sports betting needs and information. All the odds, the futures bets, the playoffs in basketball and hockey, Major League Baseball season, and NFL futures on Bears win total over under 6.5, Bears odds to make the playoffs, odds to win the NFC North, and so much more. Soccer, tennis, boxing, MMA. BetOnline is the continued source for all things sports wagering. And you're not going to go anywhere else. That's what we love here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Head to betonline.net today or use your mobile device to learn more about the different trends and action you need to know. BetOnline, where the game starts. Every offseason, we get some number of, usually it's one or two, like, offseason heroes, offseason favorites, offseason standouts. You know, the hype machine starts to build quite a bit. And of course, like, we're always going to hear really, well, first of all, you're never going to hear bad things in particular this time of year, but also you're always going to hear the quarterback is playing well, is confident, is taking steps forward, right? We've heard it every single year with Mitch Trubisky. We've heard it both years now with Justin Fields. It's not a bad thing by any means. It's just, it's an expected thing, and we're not going to get too caught up and over the top and like, ooh, like, you know, they're taking those steps. Like, yes, good progress, check the boxes, but it's OTAs, right? And that'll be true now with every player that gets that sort of hype, that it does not always, and I'm dare I say it, does it rarely translate to regular season breakout on-field success stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that it never does, but like, we hear it every year with guys, and it can kind of flame out. I don't think there's even that much of a better correlation with the training camp heroes, because that's even a second thing. When the pads come on and fans get to see them, then there's an even more like fan favorite type of training camp hero. But for now, we're getting sort of the OTA standout. And from head coach Matt Eberflus, it was a bit surprising to hear the name that he chose to sort of name drop a little bit unprompted, sort of prompted, but wasn't prompted on this player specifically, but was prompted to maybe name a young player. But I wouldn't have thought the most raw of the rookies they drafted would be the one that's standing out so far.
Muhammad and Quinn have been here the days we've been out here. Has their absence given you an opportunity to look even more at some of the younger guys on the edge?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when somebody's not here or somebody has something, you know, a soft tissue injury, that's always the next man up. And that gives an opportunity for those guys to really do well and show what you can do when you're with the ones. You know, it's like Dom has been with the ones, you know, the young kid from Miami, so Red Hawks. So he's looked good, and he's done a good job. And he understands the techniques and fundamentals. And, again, it's hard to – I think it's, to me, it's hard to assess a couple things this time of year. Pass rush is hard to assess because it's a little bit easier for the rushers to get around, you know, because there's no pads on, you know. But once you put the pads on and those tackles can really block them, I think that's when you really assess what it is. And same thing in the running game. You know, how do you really assess the running game as well? Now, I think in the passing game you can assess some things, but, you know, the pass rush is one of them. When pads come on, you can really tell, and then the run game.
Do you expect those vets to be here for mini camp next month?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's my hope.
He says it kind of quickly in there and sneaks it in, but he does say there that Dominique Robinson, the fifth-round pick, working with the first team at OTAs. And there's sort of then like two separate storylines that branch off of here. One, as you heard in the question at the beginning, Robert Quinn, not at OTAs. Al-Qadeen Muhammad, also not at OTAs, which therefore is what then leads to Dominique Robinson having that opportunity to work with the first team. Now, that being said, it wasn't as though like he's their only option on the first team, right? Yes, you take away the two veteran starters and it clears that path a little bit more, but we would assume Travis Gibson is going to be one of the two with the first team then. But, you know, they could have put potentially Jeremiah Atauchu there if he's going to play the edge rusher position in this defense. Perhaps Mario Edwards Jr. if he's going to play the edge rusher position in this defense. Although Edwards Jr. was also absent from earlier offseason workouts, so he may also not be there, but we just know for sure Quinn and Al-Qadeen Muhammad are not there. But there's also like Sam Kamara, Charles Snowden, who were both with the team last year and have more NFL experience and more defensive end experience than Dominique Robinson. So I think it does say something that the rookie has gotten those first team opportunities. I don't think it's a big deal, especially that Al-Qadeen Muhammad is not there because he's been in Matt Eberflus's defense with the Colts. They know what he is. I don't think Robert Quinn needs to be practicing, right? It's not like he needs to be there for the reps necessarily, but as the trade speculation, that's really what it is at this point, like speculation continues, I think it is at least slightly more notable then when he continues to not be there and adds some fuel to the questions about how long he's still going to be a member of the Chicago Bears this offseason. But I also think it's good that a raw player like Dominique Robinson can be getting those opportunities. That, you know, he was a wide receiver like 3 years ago. He's only been playing this position for a couple of seasons, and that's why it makes him such sort of a raw project at the position. You can imagine then, if he has some of the athletic tools of a wide receiver, that he could be the type of player that stands out a little bit more when no one is wearing pads, right? When it's not as physical from the offensive line and it's kind of just more about moving freely, he's in the best position and might have the best physical tools to move free. And that might be why he's able to stand out a little bit more in these situations. And, you know, Matt Eberflus kind of talked about that later on in the press conference that, like, yeah, they still need to see him do it with pads on and it's going to be a little bit harder and maybe won't stand out quite as easily, or maybe he does, but, you know, sort of acknowledging that it's going to be a different ballgame when the offensive line can hit you a little more. And you also have to be that athletic with pads on. So we're not getting too carried away with Dominique Robinson as some sort of breakout rookie candidate. He is still very raw. He is still learning the position. But I think at the very least, we know the athletic tools are everything they were billed to be. And the Bears have some real confidence and excitement about what he might be able to do in this Bears 4-3 defense. We'll see when Robert Quinn and Al-Qadeen Muhammad show up and are part of these offseason activities. Certainly any and all the updates we get there will break down for you right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So I hope you'll hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. I hope you make it your first listen every day throughout the offseason, because, you know, even though there's no Bears football games on the horizon right now, even though the practices are, you know, a little bit foreign to us, a little distance from us, the Locked On Bears podcast is still here to help you bear down.